This week, we're going to Silicon Valley to ask what the tech industry is doing to adapt to climate change. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Silicon Valley is the epicenter of technology. And it's not just a metaphor for the tech industry. It is a real place. Cities and businesses and people surrounded by a rising sea and at risk from increasingly extreme weather. So for our series, How We Survive, I wanted to know what the industry is doing to adapt and maybe help the rest of us too. We started here. This is a bicycle path along the Stevens Creek Trail. It runs through Mountain View, California, where Google is located, and it connects to a whole system of trails that covers much of Silicon Valley. At rush hour on a weekday, it's teeming with tech commuters, people walking, running, scooting, and riding their bikes.
She has foldable bikes.
And I have two purple bikes.
She has, yes, mostly purple.
That is Pat Showalter and Deb Headington. We asked them to meet us here to basically show me how the tech industry, the community, and climate change come together every day. Showalter is the former mayor of Mountain View and a civil engineer.
This is a steelhead stream.
Steelhead trout. Yep.
They have been coming here for thousands of years.
Meanwhile, Deb Henningsen, the one with the purple bike and the purple hair, for what it's worth, she has been biking to her job at Google on this trail every day for the past 17 years, alongside lots of other tech workers.
Intuit employees, Microsoft employees, and Google employees all use the trail. The Samsung campus that's over here is right next to the trail. Yeah, so there are a bunch.
And you can see impacts of climate change all along this trail. Showalter showed me deep cliffs that drop into the creek because the sides of the bank have collapsed from cycles of drought and heavy rain. And in the ravine are trunks of really big trees that fell over during landslides.
Well, when you have the more droughts, the trees are stressed, the banks dry in, they're more friable, it's easier to erode them, the trees fall in. Stevens Creek Trail is really kind of like a little microcosm of climate change.
And it's not just drought that will be a problem here. It's more heat waves, wildfires, storms, and sea level rise.
The Bay Area, we have the central feature being the San Francisco Bay, and we have development that rings the Bay.
Mike Mielke is with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a trade association that includes most big tech companies.
We have 9 counties, 101 cities, over 7 million people. We have a lot at stake from sea level rise.
The campuses of Facebook, Intel, Cisco, Google are all basically at sea level. Scientists call this region a bathtub. As the water level gets higher, it spills over the sides into the communities around it. Back on the trail, Deb Henningsen says she thinks tech companies know about the risks to their infrastructure and the community. Speaking for herself and not Google, she says that as they try to adapt to the climate change that's coming, these companies are also cleaning up the mess that Silicon Valley left behind from the 1960s to the 80s, when the Valley was actually manufacturing computer chips and semiconductors using actual silicon. And there is a lot of pollution left over. In fact, Santa Clara County, the heart of the Valley, has more Superfund cleanup sites than any county in the U.S.
The companies that are here, especially the companies that are large landowners, they recognize the mistakes of past technology companies and are dealing with it in a lot of ways. And I think the current generation of tech companies is all too aware of that history and wants to do better, a better kind of tech company.
I asked Henningsen if maybe the biggest tech companies should get together with governments and launch something like a space program for climate.
I don't think we've seen a big tech company try to take a holistic approach. Certainly Google, certainly Facebook, certainly Apple have all done things to ensure that a large part of their energy is being generated sustainably. Like Google is a completely carbon neutral company. I think Facebook might be also. There's a lot of efforts to do things like locate data centers, not only in places where they're creating a lot of job opportunities, but also being more environmentally effective by using, cold water and ice and wind to do the work of cooling data centers. I think that there are many employees inside tech companies that would like to do more with their individual technology projects and apply them to climate change. And I think you will start to see more of that becoming public.
But she says maybe one barrier is that climate change isn't just a concrete challenge that you can solve with the right code.
Unlike the space program, there is no cardinal goal. There is no, we're going to get to the moon in 10 years. And you know, tech companies love goals and they love moonshots, right? They love unachievable goals, but it usually is a concrete goal, you know? That's the hard thing about climate change.
So far, the big tech companies are mostly tackling climate change with their nonprofit divisions and by making their own operations more sustainable. But it's not part of the core business for most of them. For the rest of this week, we'll try to find out how that might change. Tomorrow, we'll go to the home of venture capital in the Valley, Sand Hill Road, to find out who is funding climate tech startups and who isn't. And now for some related links. Actually, this week, it's probably going to be more like related audio. Because we spent so much time in the field, we have all kinds of great stuff, and we don't have time for it all on the radio. But it also really helps tell the story of what's happening here out in the real world. I asked Showalter and Henningsen to give us some more specific details about how else the climate crisis is showing up on the Stevens Creek Trail.
You know, the trees are really stressed by the lack of water, and then they're kind of sitting ducks for all sorts of funguses and beetles and various diseases.
And the caterpillars.
And caterpillars that they might be able to, you know, withstand normally, but because they're so stressed, they can't.
There's this one type of moth that lays its eggs in California coast live oak trees, which is what these trees are that are all around us. And when there's no rain, all of the eggs can hatch. And then all of the trees are full of caterpillars. This is bad for the trees because their leaves get eaten. It's also bad for the people because some people are allergic to these caterpillars. In fact, at my daughter's school, they have a giant coast live oak in the middle of their lunch area. It gets roped off once a year and no one can sit under it because the caterpillars are dropping and giving people rashes. Isn't that lovely? So the balance between the trees and the caterpillars relies on regular rainfall. And without the rain, then the caterpillars take over. And then that damages the trees. And then as the trees die, then that causes further habitat loss and more erosion and also just damages the beautiful scenery that people enjoy and appreciate about this area every day.
Yeah. It's funny, like we talk about climate change and we talk about feeling it, and it's not always, I mean, like you said, it's not always a fire. It's just like, why do I have so many yellow jackets this year?
Or why do, like, why are there caterpillars dropping out of the sky?
Yeah. Not cool.
Yeah. I think another thing that I've noticed over the years is certainly the increased population of the underhoused. And the creek bed, especially when it's dry, becomes sort of a safe refuge area for people that are unhoused.
Oh, yeah.
If we walked further up along the trail this way, you would see a well-worn path for people to get down to the trail. And because the creek itself goes under many roads, there are tunnels there, and that becomes a place for people who are unhoused to hang out and be.
And that issue of people living in the creek is a problem all over the Bay Area, certainly all over Santa Clara County. There are literally communities that move in and live under specific bridges, and then they have to move out during the winter. And it's not good for them. They deserve to be housed in, you know, more humane settings.
And actually, you're going to hear more of both of these themes coming up all week. This idea that climate change might not always show up as a big catastrophic event, but more like a series of small changes that have a big impact. And also, this idea that you really cannot separate the climate crisis from society, whether it's housing or economic inequality or racism. And you will hear much more on all of that in the coming days. Plus, for a visualization of how much Silicon Valley is at risk from sea level rise and other flooding, and fantastic photos and video from the Stevens Creek Trail, please visit our website, marketplacetech.org. Check out that map, though, because seriously, Facebook is sinking. And this is not a metaphor. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.